Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Ripped through the Moscow, through Moscow's busiest airport.
Is everything pointing to Chechen rebels, even though no one has claimed responsibility?
No immediate word on the cause of that blast.
Police believe that as much as 10,000 pounds of TNT, or the equivalent thereof, was used in this blast.
President Obama is condemning what appears to be a terrorist attack that killed dozens of people as they waited in the international arrivals terminal.
The main investigative body for the security forces in Russia is now classifying this as a potential terror attack.
The Interfax news agency is reporting that a suicide bomber may have...
Turn off these useless idiots from the Savage Nation. If these jerks who are in the media were in the media in 1939 to 1940, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Unless there's a worldwide response against jihadism, we're all dead. Don't you understand what the heck is going on around you? Can't you put two and two together? When is America going to wake up from the, you want to call it PC? I don't even want to call it PC. I'm so sick of this, I can't take it anymore. I watch the news, and I watch the news, and I watch the news. And I waited for one John or one Jane to say the Islam word. I waited for one John or one Jane to say Islam, or radical Islam, or Muslim terrorist, or Islamofascism. I waited for one John or one useless Jane in the media to understand that we're at war. They've declared war on us. I waited and waited and waited until I turned the TV off. The Islamofascist attack against an airport in Russia. The media is filled with reports, if you can find them, but not one of them will talk about these crimes against humanity being committed by Islamists. There's a wonderful article by a Muslim named Waleed Faris, who is a professor of global strategies in Washington, D.C. Now, he advises the Anti-Terrorism Caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives. The problem is no one listens to him. Being a Muslim himself, he knows better than most of us do what must be done. And his headline is, Moscow's airport massacre must trigger a worldwide response against jihadism. The fact of the matter is, this is not an isolated incident. I was watching a Nat Geo show last night. This time it wasn't about the world coming to an end and why we shouldn't believe in God, but we should believe in Nat Geo. And this one was about the steps leading up to 9/11 in the United States of America. And how, although there was a mosque in Brooklyn where one jihadist after another came from Pakistan or some other hellhole on the planet to come and plot the killing of Jews and Christians and infidels, one after the other, they traipsed into that mosque in Brooklyn. And some FBI agents knew that this mosque was the center of it. This was the hive where hate was being preached. This was the hive where bomb-making materials were being traded. Although they knew it, the FBI had its hands tied, first by Clinton, then by George Bush, and of course now the hands are tied still by Obama. We're Islamofascists. The only question is, when are we going to hit back? Because unless we do, we're dead. Now, many of you are waiting to see what Putin will do, because many of you realize that Putin has come across as a strong man. In fact, his reestablishment of power, or his reascent to power in Russia, was directly tied to his allegedly tough crackdown on a jihadist attack in Russia way back when. If you remember back in 2002, some of the practitioners of the religion of peace went into a school and had bombs attached to them. They were women. 800 audience members and actors in the musical Nord-Ost were taken hostage. And 129 Russians, innocent all, were killed after the police stormed the building, right? 2003. Explosions near the local branch of the FSB in the village of in Chechnya, one after the other. Explosion, explosion, explosion. Two female Muslim suicide bombers in 2010 ripped through a packed Moscow subway during morning rush hour, killing at least 39 people, wounding dozens more. 2011, today, a deadly explosion at an airport outside of Moscow, killing at least 31. I'm sure the figure will go higher. The question is, how are we going to stop these trigger-happy, religiously insane people? How are you going to do this? What is America's proper response? Where is there a leader in America to stand up and say, I will protect you. I know what must be done. Give me the power. Let me become the commander-in-chief, and I will unleash holy terror upon them. I will unleash a holy terror upon them that they will never forget. And when I do unleash this holy terror upon them, wherever they live, they will be hiding from us. We will not be quaking from them. Where is that leader? Tell me, where is that leader? Romney? Mitt Romney. Romney care wins a straw poll in New Hampshire over the weekend. Are you surprised by this, that a straw man would win a straw poll? Are you really surprised that the Republican shill, another straw man who's going to lose against Obama, and that's what he set up to do again? You don't remember the last election? You don't remember how Romney was way ahead in the straw polls, the straw man, and suddenly he disappeared and the shill, McCain, was pushed ahead by the Republicans in order to make sure that Obama became president? Don't you understand how it works yet? 8 years Dems, 8 years Repubs. 8 years Dems, 8 years Repubs. So we've only had 2 years of the Socialist Democrat Party. We'll have another 2 years of Obama, then he'll win again because the Repubs want a straw man. They don't want a strong man. And I allege that only a strong man can save America. Only a strong man willing to take on our enemies, domestic and foreign, can save America. China is at war with us. They're conducting a trade war against us. They bought enough congressmen and enough businessmen to continue conduct their trade. They own enough people in the media to say that we should do nothing. Hush, hush, my darling. Don't say a word to China. Don't do anything to the Mandarins. Play it very nice. They're all nice people. They're peaceful Buddhists. They're only doing what we do. Hush, hush, my darling. Don't do anything to China. You have allegedly people in the media who are supposedly a watchdog, but in fact, they're bought and sold by the Wahhabi lobby. That is Saudi money. Whether it be 18% owned of News Corporation, that is Fox News, which, as you well know, has gone very, very soft on terrorism over the last few years. They will say nothing about Islamofascism. So who is the strong man who will arise to protect America? Who is the strong man who will expose the straw man in the United States of America? Stay tuned and you'll find out right here on the Savage Nation. So we're talking about the Wahhabi lobby in the United States and how it's bought into the news media and how many of the talking faces, such as the one just fired from MSNBC, Unterman, a true Unterman who called for civil dialogue while naming me one of the worst persons in the world. Thank God Comcast threw him out, and Unterman will no longer be heard from, at least not in the immediate future. But we have a Wahhabi lobby not referring to the Islamofascism that is plaguing the world, a virus that threatens moderate Muslims around the world, that threatens all Jews. In fact, as I said to you, I watched the Nat Geo special over the weekend, and it was very disturbing to see the lead up to the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and how FBI agents were trying to get the president to do something about a radical mosque in the heart of Brooklyn where the rats would come from around the world. And the rats would feast on our freedom. The rats would trade plans to blow up things, kill people. The rats would openly talk about killing Jews, killing Christians. The rats would come flooding in and live on welfare. The rats would come in and go in that place. Agents were screaming to their headquarters, close down the mosque, bug the mosque, do something. And because of political fears, neither Clinton, then Bush, now Obama will do anything. And so sure, today the bomb is in Moscow. How much longer do you think it'll be before one goes off here? They're busy frisking your mother's, your grandmother at the airport. They're busy strip searching nuns. They're busy making little children in wheelchairs cry. But if somebody comes in looking like a holy man from the Middle East, they usher him right through. Do you think we're all dummies? We know what's going on. So I've asked, who is the strong man who will replace the straw man that is running America? How is he going to overcome the China lobby, the Wahhabi lobby? Who is this person? I don't know who the person is, but I'll tell you this. In about 10 minutes, we're going to have Donald Trump on the show, his second visit to the Savage Nation. And I'm going to ask him some questions, including how would he respond to this terror attack in Russia had it happened, God forbid, in the United States of America. And I'm going to ask him about China. As you well know, he and I both agree we must get tough with China. It's strange that over the weekend, well, it's not really strange that a writer in England in a leftist newspaper wrote that we must assume the bowing position when it comes to China, that we must not upset the Chinese, that they themselves are simply following their own philosophy of Confucianism and Mandarinism and all of the highfalutin garbage. And the last thing we should do is confront China in any way, that we should be passive towards China, lest we set off either a trade war or something worse than that. The exact opposite is true. The only thing that could save America is the resurgence of a manufacturing base in this country. I'd like to see the factories reopen. I'd like to see the factories that once built the tanks and the jeeps and the airplanes running again in America. I'd like to see the shipyards running again. I'd like to see the steel factories opening up again. I'd like to see drilling in offshore of the United States of America for the first time off the West Coast to make us independent of the Wahhabi blackmailers. I would like to see slope drilling in Alaska. I'd like to see a lot of things done. And I need somebody to get into office who knows how to do it. I don't know who that man is. I know it's not Romney. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Let's take our first caller out of New York City. Tony on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I wish you were that man. But listen, Michael, we could all feel a lot safer now. This phony, fake fraud, the Attorney General there, Holder, whatever his name is, he rounded up 127 Italian-Americans. They're all citizens. You know, he got them for gambling and loan sharking and all that. I mean, it took 800 FBI guys, Michael, to round these guys up. It took 2 years. They said that it was under investigation for 2 years. Why didn't they put those 800 guys on the border? Why didn't they go find Bin Laden or tell them like it is, get these Muslims?
Well, you have no argument with me. Now, look, let's be clear. Anyone who's dealing drugs is doing the society a disservice. So let's be clear about that. No one's going to go soft in organized crime. But, Tony, there's a lot of questions to be asked about this show trial that Holder is engaging in. Why did he not crack down, for example, on the ethnic mafias that have sprung up in the United States of America? Why only Italians, Tony? You have an answer to that one?
Sure, because it's a lot easier. I mean, you know, he's afraid of the Muslims. You know, I mean, he might get popped off.
Well, I don't know what he's afraid of, but I know it's kind of embarrassing when they say they've rounded up the last of the organized criminals in America. We know that's a falsehood. We know from many books that have been written from the 1970s onward that there are many ethnic mafias in the United States of America. Why was there not one Chinese? Why was there not one Albanian? Why was there not one ethnic of any other flavor other than Italian? Can anyone explain that?
Well, there is, Michael. There is. You got the Russian mafia. There's a couple other nationalities, too. But they like to, ever since The Godfather and all that, they like to, build it up, make it look like a...
Well, I wasn't impressed with the roundup, to be frank with you. I thought that it was a big waste of FBI time, considering that we have enemies from China, enemies from Iran, functioning right here in the United States of America. What if they had spent half of that energy and half of that investigative ability looking into the Iranian penetration, the Chinese espionage that's going on with regard to industrial espionage? The Chinese are stealing our secrets on a daily basis, both from our industries and from our government. Why was there no crackdown on that, Tony?
What about this guy named Bin Laden? Did you ever hear of him? What happened to him?
No, I don't even know who he is. Never heard of him. Whatever happened to him, Tony? I thought Obama was going to get him.
Right, yeah. What about what? Hold, use 800 FBI guys, Michael, to get these guys doing gambling and loan sharking. What about our borders? What about these Muslims, these Islamic that are trying to kill us? Why don't they go after
Well, Tony,
that?
You know, you raise an interesting question. Here's one for the records that very few people know about. But when I had lunch with Congressman West at my house a couple of weeks ago, he said to me, do you know that we've got heroic American soldiers like Lieutenant Behenna who have been locked up in Leavenworth Prison in a cell created during the Civil War, who are being treated worse than the Al-Qaeda still kept at Guantanamo in Cuba, number one. But he said, explain this to me, Michael. How come to this day, Major Nidal Hassan, remember the Fort Hood massacre, Tony? The Muslim major who went on a rampage and killed around 13 and wounded over 30? How come the media swept that under the rug? Do you know that Nidal Hassan has not been indicted yet for murder? Are you aware of that?
Of course not. I mean, you know, you can't insult them people. I mean, they can only insult the Christians.
Well, Tony, this is why I say unless we get a strong man instead of a straw man, we are finished as a nation. It's over. We're in the last few days of this country, as far as I'm concerned. There's almost nothing left to save that's worth saving. And there's so much that can be done so quickly with a strong man that I'm praying that a strong man arises who wins the presidency. You, for one, would you vote for a Romney? Do you think he's the man?
Are you kidding me? No way.
How about some of the other wonderful individuals who the Republicans are talking about, like old Rudy Giuliani? How about him?
I don't see anybody on the horizon right now.
Well, you mean not Newt Gingrich? He's another one who's going to save America. Well, how about this other unknown, Paul Lenti? Where do they get these characters from, Tony, who are guaranteed to lose and put Obama back for four more years?
Well, all they need is some guy to make some stupid speech or something, and right away they think he's a hero and he's ready for the job.
Oh, my God, Tony, it's a bad day in America when we don't have one politician speaking out against the Islamo-fascist bombing in Moscow, that it has to fall upon us poor guys in talk radio. It's a terrible day indeed.
Savage.
We are talking about the Islamo-fascist suicide bombing in Moscow and the cowardice of the media. We're talking about what went wrong last week when the Chinese dictator, I mean president, came to the United States. We're talking about a straw man winning a poll over the weekend named Romney. And right now, we are going to speak with a man who I do hope runs for the presidency, named Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I thank you for visiting us again.
Good. Thank you, Michael.
Well, look, this is a tough day for all of us, and I don't mean to put you in a corner with a tough question. I'd like to have a light show today, but when I see a terror attack like this going on in Putin's Russia, if you were president, and God forbid this happened in the U.S., what could you do?
Well, you just have to be as tough as you can. You know, no matter what you do, no matter how tough, how smart, how cunning, these maniacs are going to go around and cause havoc. And it's different than it was in the past. I mean, it's always going to be a troublesome world, and there'll always be conflict. But this whole new word called terrorism is taking on a meaning like we've never seen before, Michael, as you understand. I mean, it can be a total coward sending a bomb off in an airport or wherever they want to set off a bomb. And it's not a question of military might, or I guess to a certain extent, the police can do an awfully good job, catch people before the act happens. But people will always be able to get through, unfortunately. But
you know, Mr. Trump, a professor who's Muslim, Waleed Faris, says that Moscow's airport massacre must trigger a worldwide response against jihadism. He said this is not happening by chance. This is an international plan. It's designed to upset citizens in all countries. And he said those who are inciting and waging the attacks are, in fact, of jihadi ideological background, of the same nature as Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or the Shabab al-Jihad in Somalia. They're killing their own Muslim citizens in other countries in order to convert them into some radical form of Islam. How in the heck do you fight this?
Well, you fight it with toughness. You fight it with lots of different things. But, you know, Michael, as I was saying, when people have that mind bent, it's going to get through on occasion. So whether it's an airport attack like today in Russia, or whatever it may be. I mean, people are going to get through. And I say you shouldn't ever have to live with it. I think you also fight it with great intelligence. You have to, you know, where people do this kind of work, this horrible kind of work, they have neighbors, and they have people that live above them and below them and all over the place. And, you know, ideally, through intelligence, you report these people if you're suspicious, and maybe you get a lot of them. But unfortunately, Michael...
Oh, there you go. Okay, so you're actually saying, when I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, what common sense would dictate. During World War II, or before it, there was Germantown in Upper New York on the Upper East Side. Not all Germans were Nazi sympathizers, but some were. And the FBI used ordinary German-American citizens to tip them off when they thought there was suspicious Nazi-like activity. I don't know if the FBI is doing that today, Mr. Trump.
Well, I'm not sure that they're doing it either, and I guess you and I have lots of complaints with the way things are being run today.
All right, so let's go to something that you probably would have an easier time with. If you were Obama when the Chinese president came here, what would you have done differently?
Well, I would not have had a state dinner. I probably would not have invited him to come here unless they straightened out the situation with respect to the monetary policy. You know, I'm a good businessman, perhaps a great Business Week said the best negotiator. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's not true. I don't even talk about it. But the fact is, I've done well in business. I understand business. And you can't compete when somebody's manipulating their currency, just like you can't compete with OPEC when they manipulate the oil prices by not allowing oil to flow freely. So, you know, you have things that are taking place against, this is really war against the United States, but
right.
You know, they talk about jobs. How do you have jobs when most of our product, as an example, is being made in China? So, well, I would not have had him come here for a state dinner. I really would have had it out before he came here, and if he wasn't able to at least give us an indication that things would change, which, by the way, he didn't do, Michael, even while he was here. He gave us nothing. I mean, they gave us a phony airline order for not very much money, and they said, like, they're doing a great thing. So they'll give us some billions of dollars in airline orders, and they'll rip us for trillions of dollars, which is...
Or they'll take the technology, or they will take the technology from GE, along with the construction of the jet engines. They're going to take the technology, as they have been doing. And this is how a nation disappears as an industrial power. So there's no question that you, as a businessman... You know, in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, I wrote a chapter where I said, run America like a business, not an empire. I think you would agree with that phrase.
Well, 100%. And I also say a business with great compassion, because I believe in compassion. But what's happening in this country is the opposite of compassion. Everybody's taking our jobs. You know, Ben Bernanke went on last week, and he said 5 or 6 years before the jobs picture comes back. Well, how is it going to be 5 or 6 years when China is building more plants and they're taking our people? When if you have a problem with a credit card, you call up India because they're the ones answering the phone to solve your problems. I mean, it's absolutely insane what's going on. Absolutely insane.
But do you think that a president today, let's say you did decide to run and you became president, there is limited power in the executive branch. There certainly is the executive order and all of that. How do you change business as usual when the lobbyists are so deeply entrenched? Do you think you'd have a better shot at it than others?
Well, the lobbyists are deeply entrenched. And, you know, when I talk about China in very strong terms, it's people call up by the thousands thanking me, and yet politicians never pick up the chant. And, you know, I really believe, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, why aren't they, like, picking this up, which I'd love them to do. I don't need credit for it. I'd love them to do it.
That's right.
I guess the answer is lobbyists. They have tremendous lobbyists. OPEC has tremendous lobbyists. I mean, when oil prices, which are going through the roof right now, by the way, but when oil prices go up, nobody attacks OPEC. And the only reason I can think that that could happen is because of the lobbyists, because the lobbyists are keeping their politicians nice and quiet.
Yes. Well, now, Mr. Trump has a website entitled shouldtrumprun.com. Now, what has to happen for you to decide that you do want to run?
Well, actually, that's a website that was set up, and we have, I guess, over 300,000 people already, just in a very tiny little period of time. I'm going to look at it very seriously. I'm going to make a decision before June. We're doing a big show called The Celebrity Apprentice, which goes on for 2 hours on every Sunday night starting in 3 weeks. And as you know, you're not allowed to run if you have a show going on. So I'm not allowed to run, even if I wanted to, during the run of the show. But that'll end sometime prior to June, and I'm able to make a decision by that time. And that time is sort of perfect timing anyway. It sort of works out well. I'm going to make a decision. Over the years, you know, people have asked me to do it, and I've never had an interest in doing it. And this time I have a great interest in doing it, beyond great. And I'm thinking about it. We aren't coming from a respected country anymore, Michael. You know that as well.
No kidding. I agree with you. We grew up about the same time. I grew up on the other side of the Union Turnpike from you. But I said to you in Florida, we shared the same snow. The same snowfall, but we do come from the same time period. We know when America was a great nation, and we look at a hollowed out nation with an industrial base that's been defeated. I believe it could be turned around with proper tariffs and with proper incentives. I don't think it's rocket science to do it. It just takes overcoming the lobbyists and the willpower. And I know, I think you believe the same thing.
It can absolutely turn around. It can turn around quickly. When people manipulate and do lots of other negative things and they take our jobs and then we say, oh, no, we can't tax China, that would be terrible. Try doing business in China. Ask Nucor. You know, Nucor is the biggest steel company in the United States. You right. Ask the folks over at Nucor, how is it doing business in China? They'll tell you it's virtually impossible. It's very, very hard for us to do business there. They come here, they dump all their product, all their crap. And by the way, we make better product than they do. I can tell you because I buy a lot of their product, not because I want to, Michael, but because I sort of have to, because we're not making the product anymore. We're not doing product anymore. And ultimately, you know, this isn't about health care because that's a different kind of a thing. That's a service. This is making the product and selling the product. And we don't do anymore. And, you know, free trade is wonderful, but this isn't free trade. This is unfair trade. They're going to make almost $300 billion more than us this year. Think of it, $300 billion in 1 year more than us. And that's not because our companies are weak or anything else. That means that they're just really not allowed. For the most part, they're not allowed to compete in China. And yet,
Donald, I know someone who manufactures a soda drink that they sell in Mexico. And although we're told there are no tariffs going into Mexico, they do have tariffs, but they don't call them tariffs. They make this company take the product off U.S. trucks, put them on Mexican pallets at a fee, put them on Mexican trucks at a higher fee. There are 10 different ways that they impose tariffs on U.S. products in Mexico. We're the only country on earth that seems to invite everyone's products onto our shore without any sort of a tax or bounty upon that sale. I think you would fix that, wouldn't you?
I would totally fix it. And I will tell you, we're being run so stupidly. And I think that's, unfortunately, it's a harsh word, but it's the most accurate word. Whether it's Mexico, whether it's China, whether it's, by the way, South Korea, they make hundreds of billions of dollars of profit. Let's call it profit on
right.
this country. And then they get under attack and we send our Navy over to protect them. And
right.
why aren't they paying us for this?
I don't know. Why didn't Iraq pay us back for liberating all the Shia, pay us in oil, for example? They're sitting on the fourth largest oil reserve in the world, or the second largest. Why are they not paying us in oil?
That was the greatest of all time, where Iraq gets taken over by Saddam Hussein. I mean, when you think of it, I mean, when you're really talking about Kuwait, I think is really what you're talking about, not Iraq, I suspect, right? Are you talking about?
No. Iraq is sitting on the largest oil, one of the second or third largest oil reserves in the world. We liberated them from Saddam Hussein. Where is the reparation for the cost of the war, which is at least $1 trillion? They do have an asset they could pay us with, which is oil.
Michael, when we went in there, people thought we did it for the oil. We weren't smart enough to do it for the oil.
No, I agree with you. Right. The liberals were screaming, no war for oil, no war for oil. And I was saying, hey, that wouldn't be such a bad trade. But we didn't even get oil.
Before, Mike, I thought you were talking about Kuwait, where we go into Kuwait after they get taken over by Saddam Hussein. We go in, we spend our lives, many lives, we spend billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. We put out all the fire with Red Adair. All the fires were put out. He lit every well on fire. We spend all of this money, all of these lives. And then we call the Arab sheikhs and we say, you can have your country now. And you know what? Kuwait doesn't like investing now in the United States because their return on investment isn't good enough.
Unbelievable. Well, I know you're busy, but, you know, I saw an article over the weekend coming out of England from the Telegraph, which is a liberal paper. And the article said appeasement is the proper policy toward Confucian China. I thought it was exactly the opposite of what should be done. You don't believe, obviously, that we should appease the Confucians in China, do you?
No, I don't. And I will tell you this. If we ever did, you know, we're rebuilding. I don't know if you realize this, but we're rebuilding China. You go to China, they're building cities that make New York City look like it's obsolete. We're doing it, very simply. If we ever announce to China that we are not going to buy their products or that we're going to tax their products at a high rate, they will come to us hat in hand and make any deal we want to make. They won't be able to do that. They won't be able to sustain themselves. We have all the cards. You know, they keep saying, oh, gee, they have $900 billion worth of our debt. That's peanuts compared to what the problem is. They have $900 billion. They say, oh, they're our banker. They're our banker. Who cares? If we ever did anything, whether it's you can't buy from China because of their unfair policies and because of the fact they don't let us do business there, or we're going to tax China. We're going to tax Chinese products coming in. Number one, would create tremendous numbers of jobs in the United States. Like, I mean, tremendous. You'll put people to work. Your unemployment will go down so fast. And it's amazing that nobody has the courage to speak up. I mean, I watched this, you know, as you call him, the dictator. But I watched the president of China coming in the other day. And I watched Obama with the warmth and the hugging and the, like he's a long-lost
friend. Yeah, like his old friend.
And what has he done? He wants to destroy it. These are not our friends. They'd be very happy destroying this country. I mean, these are not our friends.
Donald Trump, I have a question for you. On The Apprentice, have you ever had a show about those who want to be talk show hosts?
Well, I think it's a very, very good idea. Well,
I can give you some tips on what will work and what won't, because I know from 16 years' experience that program directors who get tapes every day from would-be talk show hosts, they can tell within 4 seconds whether or not that person can captivate an audience. So the day you want to do an Apprentice show on talk radio, let me know.
Well, your show is terrific, I have to tell you. I love your show. I think you're really right on. You're a man of common sense. It's not even a question of, you know, where you stand, conservative, liberal. I view you not as a conservative. Or I view you as a guy with common sense. It's amazing, the lack of common sense, or maybe it's the lack of guts that our leaders have.
Should TrumpRun.com, independently run website, I think people should go to that. There's a lot to talk about, and I hope that you do decide to take the plunge and become the strong man who will fight the straw man who the Republicans are going to put up. Donald Trump, would you stay with us, or you got to run off? Because I got hundreds of people, thousands of people, millions of people who would like to get on the phone and ask you a question or two.
Stay for another segment if you'd like. I would do that gladly.
All right, folks, this is your chance. I'm only going to get to one or two callers. 1-800-449-2255 for Donald Trump on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. So you want to be a talk show host, huh? This is Michael Savage. My guest is Donald Trump, who does not believe that appeasement is the proper policy towards China or anyone else, as a matter of fact. Mr. Trump, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Well, hello again, Michael.
Well, here's the thing. Citi takes aim at rich and famous like Alec Baldwin, Derek Jeter, who are fibbing on where they live and all of that. Taxes, taxes, taxes. If you were president, how would you alter federal tax policy, Mr. Trump?
Well, for one thing, I'd be taxing other nations who are making so much money with
it. Bravo. Great answer.
Look at what South Korea is making. If you look at what China is making, if you look at what, frankly, Germany and others are making, they're making hundreds of billions of dollars a year, and I'd be taxing them. I wouldn't be raising taxes for anybody because, number one, we're the, I don't know if you realize, we're the highest taxed nation in the world. So I'd be looking really others. I think I'd have a very serious talk with Iraq, and, you know, you look at what they're doing with the oil. They're sitting on $15 trillion worth of oil. We've spent $1.2 trillion on a war. I don't know. Maybe we should ask them to sort of like, you know, remember at the beginning when we went in, everyone said we did it for the oil. We weren't that smart. We weren't that smart. We didn't do it.
But George, remember George Bush actually said that we're going to get paid back in oil. Of course, nobody reminded him of that a few years into the war. Look, Mexico is another nation sitting on huge oil reserves, and you don't even have to ship it by tanker. You could build a pipeline right into Texas. Why doesn't Mexico pay us for the cost of illegal aliens? The social services, is that not a rational way to pay back America? Many of the illegal aliens are wonderful people. They're hardworking. God only knows that's true, and it's not just lip service. But the fact of the matter is they don't pay any income tax. Why doesn't Mexico itself, who is basically deporting their illegal aliens by letting them come in here, why doesn't Mexico pay us with oil?
Well, because they don't have to do anything, because we're taking over a lot of their problems. We are, I mean, what we're doing for Mexico is unbelievable. I look at, you can go nation after nation, and we're like, we're really like the dumb whipping post. Then you say to yourself, who are we doing well against? Think of it. What one nation are we doing well against?
Iceland. Iceland. Yeah, I think Iceland. We're out trading Iceland.
Might be Iceland, yeah, if you look at it.
Yeah, they're selling us fish oil capsules. I think they're making a good profit on that as well. One quick call for Donald Trump on the Savage Nation. Mike in Virginia Beach, quickly fire away. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Trump, speaking of taxes, how do you feel about the fair tax?
When you say the fair tax, you're referring which fair tax, Mike?
The consumption tax.
I feel okay about it. I mean, you look at certain countries, they do it. They live that way. I'm doing business in Europe, and they have, you know, many forms of consumption tax and no income tax, and it is a distribution. Some people like a flat tax. I mean, I'm not sure necessarily how I feel about a flat tax. There's a lot of good reason for it.
Mr. Trump, we're flat out of time, and I know you've got to go somewhere. ShouldTrumpRun.com. I hope you make it a regular visit to the Savage Nation, because at least you answer real questions in real ways. Not at least, you do answer questions in real ways. You don't shirk from a question, and you have real answers. And I hope you're the strong man America's been looking for.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Moscow's airport massacre, should it trigger a worldwide response against jihadism? Is appeasement the proper policy towards Confucian China? Is illegal immigration destroying the Southwest United States? These are some of the questions that we are asking and trying to answer on the Savage Nation. If you missed the first hour, we had Donald Trump on, who very directly answered questions about his response. Had there, God forbid, been a terror attack, as happened today in Russia, in the United States, what he would have done, what did Obama do wrong, and will he be the strong man to fight the straw men that the Republicans are putting up for the presidency? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. Now, what would you like to say? Let's start with the big story, which is the Moscow bombing and how the vermin in the media refuse to connect it to the Islamofascist worldwide movement that threatens to destroy the world. Let's be very clear who did this. And let's be also be very clear, these are not occasional renegade individuals. This is coming from a centralized warehouse of hate. This centralized warehouse that hates Christians, hates Jews, hates America, hates moderate Muslims, hates Buddhists, hates Hindus, hates atheists. If you don't understand that, then you understand nothing. You have to understand that those who are inciting and waging the attacks, whether they be in Moscow or in Manhattan are in fact of the same jihadi ideological background and the same nature as al-Qaeda. The question is, how do you wage a worldwide campaign against these extremist ideologists, ideologues rather, or these jihadists? And how can you win a war when you have a media that refuses to even name the enemy? How can you win a trade war when you have a media that is owned by the enemy, in part, and refuses to even say that China is conducting a trade war against the United States of America? And so if you look, wherever you look, you see the same problem in different form. You read papers saying appeasement is the proper policy towards Confucian China. And they write a long-winded story about World War I, and had we only appeased the Germans, there wouldn't have been World War I, and blah, 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 and hints of menace coming from China. And China's armed forces are now pushing forward preparations for military conflict in every strategic direction, and that the young officers in China are taking control of strategy, and it is likely young officers in Japan in the 1930s did the same, very much like that. It's a dangerous trend, and that China's on a collision course with a U.S.-dominated system from the military itself. And so what are we doing about it? Tell me exactly what we're supposed to do about it. Are we supposed to take the appeasement route? Or are we supposed to take aim at those who have targeted us because we are soft and say, that's the end of the road. This is a tough nation. We are tough people. We're hardworking people. The game is over. The Quislings are out. There's a new boss in town, a new sheriff. It's gun smoke. You want a showdown? You got a showdown. And that's it. Let's get it on already. Let's get it on while we can still use our military might. Let's get it on while we can still use our economic might. Let's get it on while we still have some moral imperative against these bums, and let's do it already. But you don't hear that. Everywhere you turn, you see one milquetoast after another popping up out of the woodwork. Newt Gingrich is going to save America. Mr. Mitt Romney wins a straw poll. Well, of course, he's a straw man again for the same party that gave us Barack Hussein Obama. So there's a lot to talk about in the Savage Nation, and there's actually a lot of humor out there as well. I read in the New York Daily News today that New York City is taking aim in taxes at rich like Alec Baldwin, who has various residences, and he says New York City is not his resident. He's not a resident of New York City, even though he has a three-bedroom co-op on Central Park West. He says he really lives in the Hamptons. That's even though he comes into Manhattan to film his TV show, whatever he does. He doesn't want to pay the Manhattan income tax. What's interesting to me is how the liberals scream like geese the minute they get a tax bill. These are the same liberals who are screaming that they're in favor of higher taxes as long as they don't have to pay them. Tim Geithner forgets to pay his income taxes. John Kerry avoided state taxes on the yacht he bought with his money that his wife got from a Republican first husband by docking in Rhode Island. Charlie Rangel claims he didn't understand the tax laws that he apparently wrote. Democrat politicians, as you well know, are either stupid or hoping that you, the constituents of Democrats, are as stupid as they pretend to be. All communists don't think they have to pay, but you have to pay. Every last one of them is the same. Mr. Baldwin is now saying he's overtaxed. And didn't Joe Biden recently say paying higher taxes is patriotic? Didn't Nancy Pelosi saying that taxes are patriotic? Isn't that the edict of the Democrat Party, that taxes are patriotic? And yet, of course, you got these screaming left-wingers like Alec Baldwin screaming like stuck pigs now that New York City is saying, no, Alec, you don't really live in the Hamptons. You live in Manhattan. Pony up the New York City income tax. 1-800-449-8255. Lots of topics. Lots of topics. I think the most amusing part of the interview with Mr. Trump was when I said to him, have you ever done an apprentice where people want to be a talk show host? He said, no, but it's a good idea. I think it'd be a heck of a show. Virtually everybody listens to talk radio thinks that they can do talk radio. Everyone thinks it's easy to do. And I know for a fact that it isn't easy to do, number one. But if you are a program director somewhere in the United States of America, of the hundreds and hundreds, I think I have 310 or 380, I don't know, stations at this point that carry the Savage Nation. You ask any program director who's been around for a while how many tapes they get every day from people who want to be a talk show host. You take that guy they just fired at MSNBC, the man who allegedly urinated on himself, Keith Unterman. Here was a guy who was screaming he was a liberal, he wanted civil dialogue. Every day he'd run the worst person in the world, and he'd name men like me as responsible for the Tucson massacre. And so finally Comcast got rid of Unterman. They had to get rid of Keith Unterman for that reason, because they knew he was a double-talking liar like Alec Baldwin in plain English. So what do you want to talk about? Anything, nothing? Let's go to New York City. Patricia, 1-800-45. You're on WR. Go ahead. Talk. You're on the air.
Oh, Michael, the moment I heard you ask the question, why is Eric Holder going after these old Italian-American guys, two things came to my mind as an Italian-American.
Are you talking about the big, stupendous, super-duper double burger mafia bust last week that Eric Holder boasted about the day that the head of China's dictatorship came to America? I wonder if there was a relationship.
Makes my head spin. These 70, 80, 90-year-old guys. I'm not saying they're good guys. They're not. No.
Well, let me be very clear. I think drug dealers should be given the death sentence. And I think anyone who uses hard drugs should be put away for 10 years. So I'm very clear. I think the Malaysian method of controlling drug use in Malaysia would work in America. Big billboards outside every major airport that say using drugs is punishable by debt. Importing drugs is punishable by debt. I think it would put a real damper on drug importation. Don't you?
I hate drugs with a passion.
Look what it's done to the children in this country. And by the way, the pharmaceutical companies are worse than the illegal drug dealers, because the pharmaceutical companies are drugging our children and calling it medicine. All right, but what's your main point?
My main point is, you mentioned the Russians and the Albanians. The Italians have been here for, you know, whatever, 150 years. They don't vote Republican. I'm sorry, they don't vote Democrat. They vote Republican. And they don't take welfare. You mentioned Albanians and Russians.
Wait, so you said that the reason Eric Holder went after Italian-American gangsters is because they're Italian, and most Italians don't vote Democrat. I beg to disagree with you. Didn't Nancy Pelosi say she's an Italian grandmother?
She can call herself whatever she wants.
Well, she's a Democrat, so that belies your statement that all Italians are such Rock Rib Republicans.
No.
Many of them are still stuck in the school of the Sacco and Vanzetti was a victim mentality, and they vote Democrat. They think the Democrats are their savior. You can't generalize at that point. I don't think Eric Holder went after them because the Democrats, the Italians, don't vote Democrat. I don't think that's a good answer. Sacramento Keith, KSTE, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks, Michael Savage, for having Trump on today. And I catch you very late after getting off work. And I'll tell you what, everything I've heard from that gentleman so far, I'm extremely excited about. We need a.
I am too. I wouldn't have him on the show. This is the second or third time, unless I really thought he would run, and I hope he does, and he really runs and wins, because it's going to take a businessman like him to run this country correctly, which is run the country like a business, not a failing empire.
I agree. I've been telling my wife that for years. America needs to be ran like a business, and his business plan for every other country imports this is exactly what.
Keith, have you read Trickle Up Poverty? Have you read the book yet? Because I'm going to send you one if you don't have it.
I have not.
Okay, you got a free copy flying out to you tomorrow from the Savage Warehouse in Kissimmee, Florida. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Pittsburgh, PA. Andy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys. So, you know, I listen for somebody to say these things all the time, and it is just common sense. You know, and it's nice to hear Trump just answer questions, straightforward questions.
Yeah, notice he didn't equivocate. He answered them. He thought about it and answered the way it should be answered in his own mind. I mean, I agreed, by the way, with every one of his answers. Some people might not, but at least you got a straight answer. Go ask Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich a question and see what kind of answer you get.
No, for sure. At least, I mean, I hope he runs. I'm not sure I would vote for him. You know, I'd have to see a lot more of what he has.
All right, of course, that's right. You do have to see. You have to hear more. You have to get the entire platform, of course, but at least you're getting straight answers right now.
Well, I think he'd elevate the argument. I don't think you'd have a chance to hide behind the, you know, political hot buttons. And that,
right.
You know, that, well, I think, is worth its weight in gold. I mean,
well, you know. I think that the real third rail for any candidate is the 30 million illegal aliens who are abusing the United States of America. I pointedly avoided asking Mr. Trump that question because, A, he is not the president. And B, I didn't think it was time to raise that issue. I'll be right back.
Savage. president, I think, has learned a lot in the last 2 years, as any president does. He is a very intelligent man. I think he is doing a lot
there
of the right
again.
Things. This emphasis on cutting spending that we will
there
be
he
talking
goes again.
About tonight was something that obviously
there
was
he
not
goes
talked
again.
About in the last 2 years. So I think there's common ground.
There's John McShane, Rhino, Arizona, glorifying President Obama Marxist. Now, this is the same Obama who has created a socialist government, Motors, a government electric company, and a government health care facility called Obamacare that is so corrupt and unconstitutional that it's only going to take a court case to throw out Obamacare once and for all. The Republicans voted to repeal Obamacare. I told you it was a waste of time. It was a show trial. We knew that Schumer and the Democrats in the Senate would reject it, and we knew that he himself could override it. It gets to court. It goes to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court rules, rightly so, that the Obamacare plan is not only unconstitutional, but it's unfair from top to bottom. This just came out Monday. Three SEIU locals, including in the Chicago chapter, were waived from the Obamacare requirement. Do you think he did that because he's a benign president? Three local chapters of the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, whose political action committee spent $27 million supporting Obama in the 08 election, have received waivers from Obamacare and from the Obamacare law. These waivers are clearly payback. The fact of the matter is that unto itself should put a dagger right through the heart of this vampire called Obamacare. The SEIU, with more than 2 million members nationally, includes healthcare workers, janitors, security guards, and state and local government workers, right? And yet HHS, meaning a division of the Obamacare corporation, gave a waiver to local 25 SEIU in Chicago with 31,000 enrollees on October 1, 2010. Another waiver to local 1119 SEIU Greater New York Benefit Fund with 4,544 enrollees on October 10, 2010. And to the SEIU Local 1 Cleveland Welfare Fund with 520 enrollees on November 15, 2010. So thus far, the fair-minded, brilliant Obama has issued waivers to 222 entities, including businesses, unions, and charitable organizations, not to mention certain religions who are not required to buy Obamacare. Of that total, 45 were labor organizations. Obamacare is unconstitutional, it's illegal, it's immoral, and it's fattening. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Corey in Albany, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
One name pops into my head when I hear that Donald Trump is going to run for president, and that's Ross Perot. If Donald Trump runs for president, Barack Obama will get reelected when he runs again. Donald Trump thinks he's
So your theory is that Trump will only take votes away from another... from a Republican, is that it?
Republican or conservative. I believe so, yes. He will take some votes away from Barack Obama, and he will get some independent votes, but I don't think that...
Well, it's an interesting question. I haven't analyzed it as extensively as I might, and I will later on in the year, because this is all baby talk at this point, whether Trump will run. But let's analyze it for the moment. The independent vote determined what happened in the last election, did it not? 100 Democrats were thrown out or so, and that was because the independent voter in America was finally motivated to go out and vote. And so if Donald Trump can motivate the independent voter, the commonsensical voter, I think he could win. The problem is, who will the Republicans run against him? If they run a guy like Romney or they run Newt Gingrich, God forbid, there will be a problem.
And I do agree with that to a certain extent, but I don't think... Hey, I don't think Republican voters are smart enough yet to hear what Donald Trump is saying.
There's another side to the story. How many Democrats would like to see a businessman run America as opposed to a crony capitalist stooge shill like Obama? I mean, it turned out that Obama was nothing but a shill for the most powerful men in the world. They know that by now. They may want an independent businessman who come in and clean the country up.
Savage. C'è una luna mezzumata, mamma mia, mamma di dare.
Figlia mia, cosa dare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu.
A lot of insults coming out of the Obama administration. Remember last week's mob bust on the same day that the head of a dictatorship from China arrived on the shores? Now, wasn't the Italian mob bust that was so loudly trumpeted by Eric Holder a clear case of racial and ethnic profiling by any analysis? They were all white, meaning European. They were probably all Catholic, and they were all ethnically Italian. This is clearly ethnic and racial profiling. What would have happened if old Eric Holder and the FBI had busted all African-American gangs in the hoods, and he dragged in 138 African-Americans over the age of 60? Or let us say he went to every mosque in America after listening in on them for 3 years, and he busted 138 old imams and others over the age of 50 with the holy robes and the beards, saying that we've interrupted a terrorist attack that was going to come, and they were all of the Muslim religion. Or he had done the same thing in the Chinatowns in America and cut down on the gamblings and the drug, or any other single racial or ethnic group. Do you think that there would be a loud outcry from the vermin in the media that this is out of bounds, it's racial profiling, why are there no whites in this? And not a peep. 100-some-odd Italians are pulled in. I'm sure they're not Snow White. But the fact is, it was clearly a targeted attack upon a single racial and ethnic group. And yet not one word from the media about this outrage by Eric Holder, our so-called attorney general. And I think this needs to be looked into. Is Eric Holder a racist, in plain English? Is Eric Holder a racist who will only go after European males when he attacks on such a level? I've not seen any African-Americans rounded up in these numbers out of the hoods, and we know there's all sorts of crime in the hoods around America. I haven't seen any members of MS-13 rounded up, and we all know that they're running the drugs and the illegal activities across America. Not one member of MS-13 was rounded up. Why is that? Ask yourself some of these questions. You have to ask yourself who Obama is that'll go after the Italians. Again, not Snow White. Again, probably involved in bad things, according to what we hear. But we know illegal immigration is destroying the United States of America. We know that police are afraid to go into certain districts of certain states. We know that the hordes of illegal aliens taking advantage of free medical care at hospital emergency rooms has caused dozens of hospitals across the state of California to completely shut down. And yet no one's investigating the massive fraud and the rings of illegal aliens who are abusing our medical systems, which is, to me, a clear crime. How about the fact that, according to the Center for Immigration Studies, some of the most notorious gangs in America made up almost entirely of illegal immigrants, and that gang investigators in Virginia estimate that 90% of the members of MS-13, the most notorious immigrant gang, are illegal immigrants? How come there's no investigation by the FBI about these problems? How is it that Arizona police are being openly told that if they try to interfere with the drug traffic in their area, they'll be taken out by drug cartel snipers? How is it that each year it allegedly costs the states billions of dollars to incarcerate non-citizen illegal alien criminals that should never have been allowed into the country in the first place? How is it that the illegal aliens make up about 30% of the population in federal, state, and local prisons, and that the cost of keeping them in prison is more than $1.6 billion annually? Is this not a crime? How is it that no radical Muslims have been arrested en masse by the FBI? How is it that the hordes of illegal aliens coming in from the Middle East were not arrested by the FBI? And so forth and so on. So I postulate that the Italian mob bust of last week, coincidentally on the same day that the gang leader of China, I mean the president of China, arrived here, the very same day that the gang leader, I mean the president of China, arrived in America, the Italian mob bust was trumpeted by Eric Holder. And to me, it's a clear case of racial and ethnic profiling. And I rest my case. Fort Lauderdale, Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I got two answers for you tonight. One is the Italian question, and the other is the strong man that you're looking for. So The first is, why Italian Americans up there? Because there's going to be no blowback from the media or the American public. It makes it look like they're doing their job. They're justifying their paycheck. Whereas if they went after the Islamo-fascist, that contradicts the radical leftist philosophy, both in the media and in our college universities. They actually sympathize.
What if they arrested 138 elderly African-American gang members over the age of 50 who were involved in every kind of crime known to mankind, who were decimating their own people in the poorest neighborhoods of America? How come they weren't rounded up?
Because that generates negative. That's not their agenda.
So therefore, Eric Holder is a racist, you could say.
I think you can make that conclusion.
Okay. Well, I think that there's an argument to be made that if you arrest all white men of one particular ethnicity, you would say that that's racial and ethnic profiling. At least we could all agree on that, right?
Well, it goes back to the voting incident a year and a half ago where the Black Panthers were intimidating voters outside that voting booth, and they got...
Right, and Eric Holder threw the case out saying there was insufficient evidence.
Well,
all right, well, we got real problems. We have a communist running the United States of America as though it's his private fiefdom, and he's very unfair. And yet we have Republican standard bearers like John McShane telling us he's a wonderful, intelligent man, and no one stands up for anything right, whether it be China or the Islamo-fascist threat. Thanks for the call. Portland, Oregon. Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I'm glad you stand up, and I'm listening when you do. I was catching the point that you made about the union group that got the bypass on the health care thing. Or the
The SEIU. They gave Obama $28 million, and they don't have to sign up for Obamacare.
I'm wondering, as I said to your screener, how in the world are they even going to enforce this whole health care thing with all of the bureaucratic mumbo-jumbo and thousands upon thousands of caveats? I'm wondering about that in and of itself, especially after listening to what you just said and then reading your book on it.
It's very easy how they enforce it. They hire Obamacare police to make sure that only the right people pay the taxes and have to sign up for Obamacare, and that the wrong people, meaning the people who paid them off with the donations, can get exempt. That's all. And if you disagree, you go to jail. What else is new?
Seems like he is getting more and more of the dictator that you're talking about. It's sad. It really is. It's really sad right now with that.
Well, it's more than sad. It's terrifying when you see a guy like Senator John McCain glorifying him as a great, intelligent, wonderful, superb leader. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Albany, Matthew, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for taking my call. Thank you for sending me Trickle Up Poverty. I got it last Tuesday. I'm on page 24. I'm reading it slowly so I can absorb every word. The reason for my call tonight is, sort of concerned the Moscow bombing, and you asked who the man was that was able to stand up to it. Well, it turns out you had that man on your broadcast tonight, and I did listen. And my wife and I have been talking for quite a time now, and Donald Trump is the man of all the candidates that might possibly...
Well, let me ask you something. How do you define yourself? Democrat, Republican, Independent, how?
Well, I was conservative Republican, but since reading a little bit in your book so far, I'm very much leaning toward independent because I'm getting more educated on the jargon that's going on here.
But here's the question. If Donald Trump decides to run, would he run as a Republican or as an independent? Because I'm afraid if he runs as a Republican, they're going to make sure that they engineer him out of the picture before he even gets to first base. So if he runs as an independent, then he's going to run against two people. The establishment Republican candidate is likely to be Romney and Obama. And in that regard, he'd split the Republican vote and he'd put Obama back in power. So it's a very tricky question, Matthew, and it deserves a lot more thought and a lot more careful consideration, which I will do as the year goes on. That's all. Atlanta, Georgia. Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out the fact that there is no mob bus from Chicago. What, Chicago has to be the only town where there's no mafia?
What do you mean? There was no arrest of any Italian-Americans out of Chicago, everywhere else?
Exactly. They're clearing the way for Daley. Daley just joined the Obama administration. And everyone
First of all, let's not say Daley is a member of organized crime. He was the Commerce Secretary under Bill Clinton. He happens to be actually a conservative business individual. I mean, let's be clear. He's not a radical leftist by any means. That's number one. Number two, he's not a criminal. And number three, he's not of Italian descent.
He has mob ties.
Well, that's what you allege. They could say things about me on the internet that are not true. And I'm very, very sensitive to such loose statements about people, because without any proof, I think such allegations are extremely hurtful and dangerous, by the way, for all of us. Wisconsin, Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mike, for taking it. I'll be very brief. And when Mr. Trump mentioned Nucor Steel, it hit home like a ton of bricks. Michael, I'm a second-generation foundry steel family. My father was
right
on the Fermi team that developed the atomic weapons in Chicago.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Well, it's the truth. And I, for 25 years, have been consulting in metals all over the world. I lived in Beijing before Tiananmen for 5 years, and I've just come back again. And I want to share a few things in an area that everybody is missing. But Mr.
Yes.
Trump hit it. What made America? What made America was metals. It was the steel.
Yeah, absolutely. Steel production was key to our growth, whether it be railroad trains or railroad tracks and forward.
Michael, I will also say that I'm a level one certified military contractor, and I'll gladly fax your program my IDs. But the bottom line is this. I'm a proud American. I was there pre-Tiananmen when the cadres were with the little red books, and I was 28 years old, and I was riding a bicycle with them at Shougang Iron and Steel in Beijing. Mm. And the first thing they taught me was, think like a Chinese. And our problem now is the Westerners, our Americans, our government are thinking like Westerners. You must think about the new Chinese. What motivates them? The little Lord Fauntleroys that have been raised by grandmas and grandpas in the outlands over the last 20 years, the new generation. They're smarter than our businessmen. It's amazing, Michael. The banks.
Well, no, we could talk for hours because I could learn from you, but I want to start with a question. A writer for The Telegraph argued over the weekend that appeasement is the proper policy toward Confucian China. You, of course, would disagree, I assume?
Absolutely not. You have to meet the... In China, it's constantly a battle of trust, long-term mutual trust, and there will always be a renegotiation of the contract. It ain't
but, Jeff, let me ask you this. In that article, I learned that Mr. Hu, who Mr. Reed called a dictator, the president of China recalled him a dictator and then backtracked, that Mr. Hu had a father who was himself a victim of the Cultural Revolution. Is that true?
I believe so.
So therefore, he's not a hardcore communist in any regard. He's probably just a hard-nosed businessman. And in that regard, we could probably do better business with him.
Well, let me tell you, the people running the big corporations are Wharton School graduates, Cambridge scholars. In fact,
wait, hold. You mean they're of Chinese? They're Chinese nationals who went to Wharton?
Absolutely, and I can give you names and numbers. For example,
Minute. So therefore, they're not thinking Chinese; they're thinking American. If they went to Wharton,
they're thinking for their penetration strategy, but not on their internal. It's a different.
Okay.
It's a double-edged
sword. So they're very nationalistic in plain English. They don't just think about business; they think about how it helps the fatherland. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Right, now, that's a key difference between them and the American business people who are trained not to think about a nation, nationhood, nationality, or anything to do with a sovereignty of the United States of America. That's a huge differential.
And you have to understand these paradigms before you start to really deal with them. And there's a wonderful book that runs parallel to trickle-up economics, which is excellent. It was written by John Longworth, Pulitzer Prize nominees, Chicago Tribune. It's called Caught in the Middle. Caught in the Middle. And if you draw a circle real fast, Michael, if you draw a circle from Pittsburgh to Minneapolis to Des Moines, Iowa, John Deere, and down to St. Louis, that's the Rust Belt. And it talks about what has happened in the last 5 years to us. And how we can bring it back. It's major. It works in parallel.
This is a very important topic, Jeff, because I'd like to see the steel mills in America running again. I loved what you said earlier, because it triggered a thought that I had when you said steel was the driving force behind America's expansion in the early days. I read a report that whoever manufactured more steel wins the war. And that was true in World War II. The reason Germany lost, well, there were many reasons. They had a phenomenal military machine. It was a dictatorship, obviously. They had fanatically loyal Nazi youth who were brainwashed from childhood. And yet they were crushed once America came into the war because of our massive ability to produce armaments, tanks, airplanes, ships, etc. Is that not a fact? In other words, they were buried because we had greater steel manufacturing?
Yes, you hit it. But let me say what's just happened. You're so timely with this. Michael, we as a metals nation enjoy the finest technology of composite metal technology, of secret metals, shall we say, and what's happening now. In the last 3 years, I'll give you two reports. One from the American Foundryman Association, 44.
All right, I tell you what, this is so good that I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back with you. We're going to learn what we can. We're going to invite you back on the show because this is too much to digest in a minute or two. But I agree with you. We have to save the so-called Rust Belt in the generic sense. And you're going to give us some specifics that you know that I don't know anything about right here on the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
Finally, it took all day. No one claimed responsibility for the blast at the airport outside of Moscow that now wounded 180. That means it's probably closer to 300. It says, although Islamic militants in the southern Russian region of Chechnya have been blamed for previous attacks in Moscow, including a double suicide bombing on the capital subway system in March 2010, which you already forgot. And that the reason you forgot it is because the government media complex wants you to forget the Islamic suicide bombings. The same way they want you to forget the mass murder by Major Nidal Hassan, known as the Fort Hood Massacre, and think only of the white madman in Tucson, Arizona, which they'll keep alive for 10 years. 1-800-449-8255. Let's see what Putin does is the question. Because Russians are looking to the tough-talking Putin as the leader they trust to guarantee their security. And this attack today is likely to strengthen the position of the security forces that form a strong part of Putin's base. It should be noted that large-scale battles in Chechnya ended years ago following two devastating wars that Russia waged with the Republic's Islamic separatists. Nevertheless, the militants have continued to carry out suicide bombings and other attacks. Let's go back to Jeff. Time is so short. Jeff, in a short version, China, metals, steel, what should we do?
Well, it's a longer story, but let me just give you a parallel that kind of works with the Obama administration. Michael, in the last 2.5 years, America lost its global power, its global leadership in metals. It has gone to China, India, and East Europe. While Germany and Switzerland per capita are 6 times greater than any other foundry steel nation in the world in per capita output of product.
Jeff, we have to pause right here because you are a man of immense knowledge. You're arguing with a man who has converted to your way of thinking. I have said for a long period of time I'd like to see the steel industry revitalized in America, and they can take their pollution laws and throw them in the garbage as far as I'm concerned for right now. I'd like to see the steel mills reopen in Pittsburgh instead of green jobs that don't produce anything but lies. Jeff, can you come back to this show another time with a longer segment, perhaps, and give us a little illumination? Have you read Trickle Up Poverty at all?
I've got it. I was one of the first buyers.
Well, I'd like to read your book, Jeff, or your papers, and if you could send them to my producer, we will talk about them again on the Savage Nation. Another big hour to follow right here on your local affiliate. Remember, the Italian mob bust of last week was a case of clear racial and ethnic profiling.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Big news stories today are this. The Islamofascists struck in Russia, blowing up a baggage claim area at an airport outside of Moscow. But the midstream media has been filled with reports about the bombing, but you can't believe the headlines. Explosion at airport in Russia. Not one of the useless talking heads on TV has dared to say the word Islam, Islamist, or Muslim in relation to these crimes against humanity. Why is this damn media in such fear of using the I word when it comes to terrorism? Now, the Russians have a history of directly and forcefully retaliating against the radical Islamists. Do you think this has something to do with why Russia as a nation is on the ascent, while the United States as a nation is on the descent, where we seem to pacify virtually every one of our enemies, whether it be the Islamists, or in this case, the Chinese, in another case, the Chinese? On a domestic front, Rahm Emanuel, remember him? Remember Rahm Emanuel? Do you remember the name? Old Rahm Emanuel, the Hammer Rahm. He ran Obama's White House with Chicago-style tactics. Well, apparently he wants to be mayor of Chicago, and there was a shock today. He was thrown off the ballot in Chicago. Now, if the central member of Obama's Chicago political group can't get the Crook County fixers to put him on the ballot in the mayor's race of Chicago, does this say anything about Obama's vulnerability for 2012? Was this a case of justice prevailing or of one political group prevailing over another one? Also on the Savage Nation today is Donald Trump. Over the weekend, Mitt Romney won a straw poll, which is appropriate for a Republican straw man. But Donald Trump, in my opinion, has been the only significant national figure making waves in terms of a possible presidential candidacy, and that's because he says be tough on China, he's pro-military, and frankly, I'll ask you, who would you trust more to respond to the kind of terrorist attack that occurred in Moscow today, Obama, Romney, or Trump? And who would you trust more to deal with the ongoing confrontation with China? Would it be Obama, Romney, or Trump? Those are some of the important questions on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The website is michaelsavage.com. And if you go to my website, you'll see that I've called for tariffs on China on page 305 of Trickle Up Poverty. You'll see a horrible video of the Islamist bombing at the Moscow airport. You will see that the court tossed Rahm Emanuel off the Chicago mayoral ballot. You will see that China used a downed U.S. fighter to develop its first stealth jet. In other words, they copycatted our own F-117 Nighthawk that was shot down over Serbia in 1999. The capitalists will sell us the rope with which we will hang them was said by who? Barack Hussein Obama or Vladimir Ilyich Lenin? It doesn't matter who said it. Just read about it. Why the blackballing of Michael Savage? Where does the Wheeler murder investigation go from here? Remember him? Forgot about him? And by the way, this is an interesting one. Do you know that Major Nidal Hassan, the Muslim soldier who killed 13 and injured over 40 or 30, do you know he's still not been indicted? Do you know that he enjoys better treatment in our prisons than Lieutenant Behenna does at a military prison? You don't know about that. It's all on michaelsavage.com. Iran laughs off UN attempts to stop its nuclear ambitions. No kidding. No kidding. And by the way, the 9/11 Museum, school children thought that their penny jars and bake sale proceeds would go toward building a 9/11 memorial at Ground Zero. They didn't know that the money that they were raising would go to the six-figure salaries of the so-called non-profit executives. They made a fortune off these small donations. Well, anyway, these stories and others are covered on michaelsavage.com. including a new acorn grows in Brooklyn. Yeah, you didn't know about that. Mortgage giants leave legal bills to the taxpayers. The LA Times loses its standing at home. No one's reading it anymore. It's sad. Social issues top GOP state agendas. Well, all the good things that you're not going to see anywhere else except on the right-wing MichaelSavage.com website. It's all there for you, as is this radio show, The Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So what do you want me to do? Eat my heart out? I'd rather save elephants. What, you know, at the end of the day, one of the proudest things I've ever done is given a little money to a group, the International Fund for Animal Welfare, a couple of years ago. Not a lot of money. And they saved a herd of elephants by moving them from Uganda to another country and saved them, and they killed some poachers. I would like to fund an entire team of machine gun-toting anti-poachers. I'd like to fund an army. IFAW-supported anti-poaching team apprehends notorious elephant poacher. The poacher was arrested in Tsavo East National Park and was part of a six-man gang that had been sought by Tsavo security staff for a month. IFAW has now trained almost 1,000 officers on how to prevent illegal wildlife trade in smuggling hotspots throughout the Middle East, Caribbean, Oceania, Africa, and Russia. So there are little things you can do on Earth. You can save dogs. You can save elephants. You can save dolphins. You can save leopards. You can save whales. You can save grizzly bears. You can save a rhino calf. You can save seals from the hunters. Or you can even save falcons, if you'd like. So there are good people on the earth. And they could sit and eat their heart out every day of the week, and they could take a pill and say, there's nothing we could do, it's all over. Or they can get up every day and they could drink a cup of coffee or whatever they drink, and they go out and save elephants and whales. And then they know at night that they did something useful. Because our little and our big animal friends deserve our care. So you can do something. You can do something. You can do a lot of things in this world. You don't have to just sit here and complain, and you don't have to sit here and worry why you aren't invited to a party in Hollywood by Steven Spielberg or whatever. You can read these newspapers and you can lose your mind thinking you're missing out on something. What are you missing out on? What are you missing out on? A white shirt and tie? A tight pair of shoes? Why, you can't buy yourself a drink? It's nice to meet famous people. It's nice to be somewhat of a celebrity. And at the end of the day, what does it actually mean? Just what your mother told you. Whatever your mother told you about it all was 100% right. And I can't use the exact words my mother used because they're not family friendly. When I would look at some of the famous actors or actresses when I was a kid and be depressed because I had to ride the Q44A to go to a second job or go to Queens College, I was really depressed. I said, how am I ever going to wind up anywhere in this world? I can't get anywhere. I come from poor people and I'm not that driven. Maybe I'm not even that smart. I'm going to wind up on a stinking bus or a subway car the rest of my life. And my mother would say to me certain things about the very rich and the very famous that were absolutely true at the end of the day. The end of the day, it's all true. We're all born unto the same star, to the same sky, and we die under the same sky. In the big sweep of things, philosophically, in that sense, Gandhi was right. Is that depressing? Should it mean that you should not compete, not want to win the triathlete contest, not compete in a hot dog eating contest, not compete in an apple pie eating contest, not compete in a bake-off, not compete in a meatloaf making contest, not compete in a radio contest, not compete in the internet run, not compete in the shoemaker's design, not compete in the nail cutting design? Does it mean you shouldn't compete in the lip gloss design? Does it mean you shouldn't compete for the best novel of the year? It doesn't mean any of that. But in the long sweep of history in your own life, it doesn't mean a darn thing. At the end of the day, your teeth are going to fall out. Your hair is going to slowly fall out. No matter what exercise you do, you're going to get weak and you're going to fall apart. That's if you live long enough to have the pleasure of seeing your body fall apart. If, on the other hand, you're one of the lucky ones and you die at 29 or 30, well, then you don't get to see your hair falling out, your teeth falling out, your joints breaking down, and your entire soul collapsing from within. But that's the way it is. And that's why some are, and some are not what they are. And that's why some will always use drugs and some will never use drugs. And that's why I wrote when I was 15, those who know will always know and those who don't will never. So if you'd rather talk about why we don't have barbs on our berries anymore in the United States of America, and who exactly has snipped the barbs off our berries, and what we can do about it, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. And just as I'm speaking to you, in comes my dog, Teddy, to shake his little collar and look at me and say, "But Dad, knock it off. Don't you realize it's early evening on the East Coast and people have things better to do than worry about who, Jean Tu, to worry about GE and Jeff Immelt, to worry about the transfer of avionics technology to China, Dad? I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care that China's building a big bomber, excuse me, a big passenger plane with the avionics transferred by Jeff Immelt, Dad. It doesn't matter to me because I'm only going to live another 5 years," he says to me with the little collar shaking on his neck. York, Pennsylvania. Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Savage. You know, as I've been listening to your show tonight, I think you're absolutely correct that the government media complex is engaged fully. My thing is that I really believe that they have us looking in the wrong place, though. They have us looking at what's going on in China. And I think China's getting a payoff, and I think NBC's getting a payoff, and I think GE's getting a payoff. And there just seems to be all these little things of misinformation that keeps getting fed out here to the public.
Well, of course they're getting a payoff. If GE is allowed to transfer technology that shouldn't be transferred, and it's sold as something good for American jobs by Obama and Jeff Immelt, of course it's considered a payoff, but it should absolutely be investigated before the technology is transferred. I mean, I studied the deals that GE is going to do with China. Obama and MSNBC and CNBC says that it's all about green jobs. But there's another joint venture between GE Aviation and China that will transfer the avionics systems that GE developed partly with government contracts to China, supposedly to help them develop a homegrown big passenger jet. But I don't believe that's where it's going to end up. Do you?
I agree with you 100%. And I'm going to tell you why. I happen to believe that what's going on with China is just smoke and mirrors. And the biggest reason I believe this, and I finally became convinced of it, was...
Wait a minute. What do you mean what's going on with GE in China? So what's the big... Where's the big story?
The big story, I think, is in the transfer of wealth that's going out of this country back over to the Middle East with the manipulation of the dollar. And I think China is helping them do that. They've almost become like a money laundering center.
Yeah, but that's not the... look, the transfer of wealth to the Arabs for oil is a well-established fact. We understand that. The solutions are pretty clear. Build more nuclear plants. Do slope drilling in Alaska. Drill offshore. Make the energy, make machines more efficient. So there are solutions. The problem is that none of these solutions are acceptable to the radical left because they don't want solutions. They want to cripple us and continue to have us beholden to the foreign powers. But what's the point of talking about day in and day out and day out and day in? What the bottom line is that states are going to go bankrupt. You take a look at the state of California. You realize that Schwarzenegger was a shill. He never was a serious governor. He never did it for the money. He did it for the power. He even admits he was addicted to the power. All right, he's not the only one to take a job like that for the power. I don't understand it myself because I'm a different type of personality. I don't like getting dressed up every day with a suit and tie. I don't like sitting in a room and having people kowtow to me. I could do without it. I'd rather buy a chicken in Safeway and heat up the oven and put in some pre-made French fries and then heat up some green peas and watch television, then I would rather sit at a dinner. Once in a while, I like to do the suit and tie and have the drink and march around and get the appetizer and hobnob. It's fun. Every couple of months, I could do that. And then there are those who do it three times a day. How they do it, I don't know. Why they do it, I don't know. What they get out of it, what kind of ego gratification they get out of it, I don't really know. But each man is different, and it's a world that I don't truly crave. I don't really want that world. But some do, and they're entitled to it. But okay, that's not the issue. What is the issue? The issue is whether or not we're going to survive as a nation. In plain English, just in plain English, what the heck do you think radio, talk radio, is all about? Why is it that millions of people tune into the top five radio shows, of which I'm number three? Why? There's a reason for it. You have other options for right now. You can be listening to music, listening to nothing, playing with an iPod, whatever you're doing, or not listen to media at all and just talking to somebody. But you've chosen to listen to Michael Savage and the Savage Nation, as many of you do every night, religiously. Why are you listening? You're listening because you're worried, in plain English. Are you worried because you're paranoid and there's nothing to worry about? Only because we on the right are trying to steam you up with worries about Islamofascism and about Chinese growing militarism, about China holding our debt, about China manipulating the currency, about the Quislings in the government media complex who continue to hide everything. Are you really worried about those things? Are you worried about those things because they're real worries or because we've steamed you up into worrying about them? Old media hacks and hackettes are still applying their journalistic bondo with the excitement of fruit flies dancing on a rotting tomato. I wrote that in the year 2000. In the conclusion of my speech, Beware the Government Media Complex. In the year 2000, I gave it before the Commonwealth Club. Little did I know there would be a joint venture between China, Obama, NBC, you name it, Comcast, you name it, Chicago. I mean, just jumble all the letters up in the Scrabble game called the Government Media Complex and listen to what I said in 2000. But now we have a growing media blackout of some serious crimes and misdemeanors, all unsolved to the satisfaction of those with critical powers of reason. We know about these events because the dam of silence has cracked. But owned media hacks and hackettes apply their journalistic bondo with the excitement of fruit flies dancing on a rotting tomato. And who has paid for their crimes and misdemeanors? And who is being blackmailed? The year 2000 Commonwealth Club, Beware the Government Media Complex. Great speech, very important, seminal in the media. You listening to the show today are perhaps a very small group of people who even heard the speech. But it should live a very long time. We then heard Obama at a GE turbine plant in Schenectady, New York. GE equals government energy. GM equals government motors.
Savage.
You know, I recently spent a lot of my show discussing why the midstream media refuses to talk about Michael Savage being banned in England. You may be tired of it, but the question is, why is Michael Savage blackballed? And an article was written on it by David Dalbemeyer, who joins us now. David, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to come on.
With so few in the media willing to even mention Michael's name, why did you put this article out there? You're certainly not going to engender any friendship from it.
The truth of the matter is, I have great, great concern about the direction that I see this nation going. And I had an event happen in my life back on October 3rd, the birth of my first grandchild. And really, as if I needed another reason, I now have a greater cause to try to do what the Scripture says, is to leave an inheritance to our children's children. And I've been a fan of the Savage Nation literally for years, riding around on my lawnmower, riding my bike, listening to the program. And began to understand that this government media complex that you speak so much about is really, really playing out before us. And I listened to Sean Hannity and liberal bad, conservative good, Republican good, and Democrat bad, and just realized, oh my goodness, that the problem is so much deeper than that. That's just scratching the surface of it. Or to turn on Rush, and you know, Rush is always talking about why conservatism is good and why liberalism is bad, and it is causing us to become so shallow in the way that we look at things. And that's what I've always appreciated about the Savage Nation, was the fact that you're not afraid to take on those difficult issues, not afraid to say, listen, there's evil in the Republican Party as well as there's evil in the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
If we're going to be able to figure out a way to rectify this communist, this leftist drift that we see in America, then we're going to have to realize that there are enemies in both camps, that they are, in fact, two legs of the same bug. So, you know, I've been pondering about writing this for the last several months, just because I just appreciate so much what you say on the air, and I thought it's time to introduce Dr. Michael Savage to people who maybe really have never listened to his show.
Well, we know the problem comes from too much fear in the media. What else?
In fact, it's the loss of manhood in America. Actually, we have people who are afraid to stand up and speak their mind, which is one of the things that really attracted me to you, Michael, was the fact that you were not afraid to to say what you really thought, something that men used to do a long time ago. But see, I see a greater thing that's going on at work, and I make no bones of the fact that I try to come at things from a Christian perspective. When I look at what's going on in the world, I try to look at it from a Christian perspective. And one of the things that I see that has happened to our culture is that the church, I'm talking about the organized church, whatever you want to call it, Christendom, Christianity, that institution of Christianity has dropped the ball. We are in the mess that we are in today because Christianity is in such a mess. There was a time back in the days of the founding fathers when they called them the black-robed regiment. It was the pastors. It was the pastors standing up, speaking the truth from the pulpit that held government accountable. And for whatever reason, it appears now that the church has become co-opted by the Republican Party.
Why do you say that?
When I go out and vote, I have very strong things that I go out and vote on. I'm very strong pro-life, very strong traditional marriages. I will not compromise on those issues. But we see all across the political spectrum, men of God or so-called men of God who stand in their pulpits who are compromising the truth because they are first and foremost, I hate to say it, Michael, but they're first and foremost Republicans. And because they're first and foremost Republicans and they don't want to hurt that Republican brand and they believe that conservatism is the same as Christianity, they don't open their mouth and they don't speak the truth for fear of what? Loss of their 501c3 standing, for fear of influencing people in the pews. Because the truth is, the church has reached a point where they're more concerned about butts in the pews and bucks in the coffers than they are for truth. And so I lay many of the problems that we see going on in this American culture is at the foot of the American church. The fact that the salt, Matthew 5 verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its savor. It is no longer impacting the culture the way that it did literally two, three, four generations ago.
Why, don't we still see people pretending to be moral conservatives?
Well, look at Fox News. They've got Mike Huckabee on there. They have Sarah Palin on there. No offense to either one of them, but it appears to me that they are trying to project for Christian America in particular, what they would consider that conservative voter. They are trying to select the next president of the United States. Why else would they be on Fox News? Why would they have their own programs? Because they're trying to familiarize us with Sarah Palin. They're trying to familiarize us with Mike Huckabee. So therefore, they become the darling of the Christian right, the Republican right. But my question would be is, why are they the darlings of it? No offense with Sarah Palin, and no offense with Mike Huckabee, but why is Fox News featuring them? See, they are in the business of creating media stars. That's what happens in the media. They create these stars, and then those of us, and again, I'm speaking from a Christian perspective, Michael, those of us who are Christians and are playing follow the leader, we have our pastors who won't even stand up and speak the truth about what's going on in the American culture.
Well, like what?
Let's look at the Republican Party. The Republican Party supposedly is a pro-life party. That's one of the main standards, and that's why so many conservative Christians in particular, vote for the Republican Party because they're pro-life. But it's been 38 years. Roe versus Wade, 38 years. For 38 years, the Republican Party promised us that they were going to do something about abortion. And it didn't take me very long to wake up and realize, you know, they may say they're pro-life, but I don't know if they really want to end abortion. Because if they end abortion, then all of a sudden they're going to have a bunch of Christian conservative voters that if abortion were to be illegal, now all of a sudden another issue becomes important for them. So I'm not so sure the part of what's going on is the control of the electorate, the Christian conservatives being the Republican Party's base. They pander to us. They say that they're going to push forth legislation that we want. But in the end, they get in there and they don't do anything different on our issue than the ones before.
What's left of the Tea Party movement? Anything in your opinion?
Michael, you're the catalyst of the Tea Party movement. Now they'll never say that. They'll say somebody else started a Tea Party, but the mantra of borders, language, and culture that you have been preaching, at least over the last 10 years that I've been listening to you, has been setting brush fires in the minds of the people all across the nation. And what happened with the Tea Party movement was it was nothing more than a confluence of all these little fires that have built into a bonfire. But we are in a very, very critical position right now because we are going to see the Republican Party try to co-opt that Tea Party movement and claim it as
wait
their own.
Wait a minute. I've been saying that for years on the Savage Nation.
Look what happened in Washington, D.C. John Boehner, a good old Buckeye. I'm from outside Columbus, Ohio. Good old Buckeye. He's now the Speaker of the House. But the old boys are back in power. Is anything going to change? Is anything going to happen? So I think we'll watch over the next few months and see if these new Tea Party candidates that we sent to Washington, D.C., are they going to toe the party line or are they going to continue to do what they said they were going to do? And I believe it's incumbent upon us and upon you, Dr. Savage. A wise man once told me they will never see the light until they feel the heat. We have got to keep the heat on our elected officials, and don't trust them. Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Let's not trust them just because they happen to have an R after their name.
Are there any signs that things are going to get better?
Well, I don't see it. I mean, I just to tell you the truth, I don't see it, except I'm greatly encouraged, thanks to you, Dr. Savage, because there are millions of people who are far more awake than what they were 10 years ago. When I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union back in 1997 for praying with our football team, that's what thrust me into this cultural war. People thought I was crazy. They could not see. And now all of a sudden, here we are in 2011, and people are coming up to me, and they're saying, you know, Coach Dave, you've been telling us that. You've been saying that this is what's going on. So I'm greatly encouraged, not by what's going on in Washington, D.C., but I believe they've opened Pandora's box to liberty-loving, God-fearing Americans, and I just don't think it's going to be very easy to push us back inside and close the lid.
Oh, I agree.
Let me say this, because, Dr. Savage, you and I have a lot in common, although it's not, people maybe don't see this. You rail against the government media complex. You see that as one of the greatest issues in America, and I agree with that. But Dr. Savage, the greater issue that I see is the church government complex that we see going on. The church, the Christian church being co-opted by the Republican Party is a great, great danger. And unfortunately, you turn on Fox News, I watch Sean Hannity, I listen to Bill O'Reilly, I watch those shows, but we have to understand that they are directing us towards a predetermined outcome. Here's where they want us to go. So Hannity's guest, Karl Rove, Dana Perino, all those replayed Republican hacks go on there, and they sing that same company line. Dick Morris, here he comes in, and he gives us more of that company line. And what happens to us, Dr. Savage? We wake up, and we have John McCain. We have John McCain representing God-fearing Americans. And so all of a sudden, we have no choice.
Exactly.
So my greatest concern is, when will the church begin to rise up and be the church? When will pastors across this nation begin to speak up and say, no more, no more. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I understand now what's going on, and I have an obligation not to be loyal to the Republican Party, but be loyal to the Christ that I claim to serve. Until that happens, see, our problems, Dr. Savage, are not political. The problems in America are spiritual. They're moral. We no longer recognize right from wrong. In fact, Dr. Savage, we know our politicians lie to us. We joke about it. We say, ah, ha, ha, he's a politician. All politicians lie. And then we vote them back into office. We get exactly what we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening because the church is being co-opted by the Republican Party. I jokingly tell everybody, they say, Coach, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? I say, I vote the Bible. I don't care which party they are. And the oldest trick in the book, Dr. Savage, is divide and conquer. Young versus old, right versus left, rich versus poor, union versus corporations. They've done a great job of isolating us, separating us, when in fact most Americans share the same values. If I could go so far as to say this, your mantra of borders, language, and culture, Dr. Savage, is so important. But we need to ask ourselves this question. What is that culture? What is that culture? Well, that culture is a Christian culture. Now, please understand, I don't care whether people are Christians. That's not for me to decide, and that doesn't mean they're any less qualified to be American citizens. It doesn't have to do with anything like that. It has to do with this. What are the values that we are going to teach to our children? Are we going to teach our children Christian values, or are we going to teach them Islamic values? What are those values? And the culture, Dr. Savage, that you talk so much about is a Christian culture. And until we begin, once again, not to force our children into Christianity, but once again, demand that our children learn those values, those uniquely Christian American values, we're going to lose this country. There was a day in America when you walked into the church and the Ten Commandments were on the wall, and you walked into the schoolhouse and the Ten Commandments were on the wall, and you walked into your own house and the Ten Commandments were on the wall, and the kids got the idea. My goodness, they're teaching me the same thing everywhere I go. And now with all this multiculturalism and no right, no wrong, and if it feels good, do it, and the gospel of Rodney King, why can't we all just get along? There is no standard of right and wrong, so our young children don't even understand what that American culture really and truly is.
Where can we read more?
They can go to CoachDaveLive.com.
David Dalbemeyer, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Honored to do it, and I want you to know, Dr. Savage, I'm out here cheering you on and encouraging everybody I know they really want to know what's going on, to try to pick you up wherever they are, whether it be on the Internet or some little podunk radio station out in the middle of nowhere. If they look long enough and hard enough, they're going to be able to find you. I appreciate all you do.
This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
I don't want to get too emotional about it, but this is a very symbiotic business. After a certain number of years, when you have an audience and they like you, you like them, it's very much like going into a cafe with them. I used to have a shtick on my show years ago. I had a local show when I started calling Cafe Savage. Someone will rip it off tomorrow, but they can't do it, so I don't care. You can imitate someone, but you can't duplicate it, so it doesn't matter what they steal. Everyone tries the New York voice. No, they all try to act like they're a truck driver. They wonder why people don't take them seriously. You can't fake it. I'm a man of the people and a man of the streets with a high education, with a great deal of experience. So they don't need the New York street thing in order, But if you go on the, how you doing? You know how many guys send tapes in like that to my syndicator? They think that's going to get them on the radio. Hey, how you doing, Mickey? Blah, 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 blah. That's not what radio's about. That's not it. That's not it. That's only the thing. That's only the thing. It's not the whole thing. And nothing, that's not there. So anyhow, here we are, beautiful world. So the sky is still technicolor. The fog is still thick in San Francisco. The German tourists are still shivering in the streets of the city. I am still here with Teddy, about to continue the show for quite a while yet, after which I'll be walking in the streets of San Francisco with my hat pulled down and my collar pulled up. Why would you want to live anywhere else? Why do I care about the liberal nuts here? They don't bother me. As far as I'm concerned, they're just fodder. The Wall Street Journal wrote an article about me last, a terrible piece of junk. The writer, should be embarrassed. The kid had no capacity as a journalist, nothing. That's what they hired today. I mean, I've had good interviews. The New Yorker was superb. The Playboy article, although it was attempted to be a hit piece, was well written. The guy went after me at every turn. He tried to trap me and couldn't. He fired every bullet in his arsenal, every arrow in his quiver. He tried, and none of them hit me. But it was good. It was a good interview because I enjoyed the challenge. It had depth. This thing from the Wall Street Journal was a joke. The guy... To show you what a poor journalist he was, he writes, oh, he writes in all caps. His emails, he writes in all caps. What's that, an attempt to say I'm illiterate because I use all caps? Yes, I use all caps in my emails. You know why? Because to me, an email to this day is still a telegram. Okay? I know how to write books, schmuck. I'm the author of 25 books. I'm not a journalist for the Wall Street Journal who got the job because they had to, fill certain quotas, to be very honest with you. What a stupid article the guy writes. But in the article, he says... He asks me a question, which thank God he got this right. And he says, I asked Savage why he lives in such a liberal area, such as San Francisco. How come he lives here? So I said to him, they asked the same thing of Voltaire, why he lived in Paris if he found the foibles of the Parisians so bothersome. Why did he stay in Paris? And he said, because that's what I write about. In other words, I write about the foibles of the Parisians. So I said, that's the reason I stay in San Francisco. What could be better? Where do you want me to live? Where normal people are? What would I have to write about if I lived around normal Americans who love God and country and family? I have nothing to write about. You get it? That's why I live around here. I love this wacko area. So the air, you know, I haven't been banned from San Francisco yet. I mean, I'm still allowed here with the wonderful dental care and the food. There is good food here. I got to tell you something. It is a food city. You got to know where to go, though. You got to stay out of the downtown. Big. Oh, the dog's already here stretching. Is it my body motion? Do I give off a certain chemical? He already got up from under the desk. He's giving the four-legged stretch. Looking at me already, he thinks he's going to get the bone for the job he did already, guarding my feet from the imaginary attack. Teddy, you did such a good job. Why do people like to hear about Teddy in the studio? I don't understand it. My dog is like one enzyme away from being a man, a human. There's certain dogs that are so smart, you could almost see them reaching to become like Pinocchio, become a person. It's almost painful to watch. They look at you like they understand every word. Well, I know that he has a larger vocabulary than the average rap star. That I know. I know the dog understands at least 250 words of English. That I can guarantee you. While most of the rap artists use about 30 to 40 words. I don't care if they make $30 million. It doesn't matter to me. It means nothing to me what how much money they make. Their vocabulary is about 50 words. F-word, B-word, F-word, B-word. Varieties of the F-word, varieties of the B-word. The varieties of the B and the F word together, varieties of the F and B word together, and they make $30 million a year. Good luck to them. Good luck to them. My dog understands about 250 words of English.
Savage.